Okay, I want to talk to you about Saul's conversion. And as we look at it, we might wonder, is that a unique experience or something common to everyone? I think that conversion for each person is unique for them. More later about that. Let's look at Saul's background then. In his childhood and youth, Saul learned how to work with his own hands. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. His trade was tent making, which he continued to practice after his conversion to Christianity. And by his own account, Paul was the best Jew. Sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it, him saying this? But he said he was the best Jew and best Pharisee of his generation, though he claimed to be the least apostle of Christ and counted all his achievements of his past life as nothing and attributed his successes to the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, it says this, and it's Paul writing, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." Paul spent the major part of his life persecuting the new Christian movement, an activity to which he refers several times. Paul's motivations are unknown, but they don't seem to have been connected to his being a Pharisee. In Acts, it shows the leading Pharisee of the time, who's called Gamaliel, defending the Christians. That's in Acts chapter 5, verse 34. It is possible that Paul believed that converts to the new movement were not sufficiently observant of the Jewish law, that Jewish converts mingled too freely with Gentile, that is, non-Jewish converts, thus associating themselves with idolatrous practices, all that a notion of a crucified Messiah was objectionable. Young Paul certainly would have rejected the view that Jesus had been raised after his death, not because he doubted resurrection as such, but possibly he believed that God wouldn't choose to favour Jesus by raising him before the time of the judgment of the world. Whatever his reasons, Paul's persecution activities probably involved travelling from synagogue to synagogue and urging the punishment of Jews who accepted Jesus as the Messiah. The book of Acts tells us that Saul was even present at the death of the first Christian martyr, where he approved of the stoning of Stephen. Before becoming a follower of Christ, Paul was a prime example of a righteous Jew. He came from a God-fearing family, he was a Pharisee like his father, and he was educated by a respected rabbi named Gamaliel. His Jewish credentials included his heritage, discipline, and enthusiastic devotion. He was incredibly keen. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6 says this, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." Wow. And so to the reading from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19, and Julie's going to come out and read. Thank you.
Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19, and if you've got the church Bible, it's page 1102. Page 1102. Acts 9, verses 1 to 19. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Where are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus.
Thank you, and the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. According to Acts, Saul began his persecution in Jerusalem. So here's a curious thing. Saul's problem may have been that those converting to what was called the Way were not exactly following God's law, as far as he was concerned, and certainly they were not keeping to the Pharisee standard. So Saul goes to the high priest, who was himself a Sadducee. Now, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection or in angels, but Pharisees did. Wait for it. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That is why they were sad, you see. Very old joke. I won't say it again. And though Saul would not agree with the Sadducees' thinking, he would need the authority of the high priest to go into the synagogues in other towns to weed out these people that believed in a crucified Messiah. The early Christians were called followers of the Way, and it was this new way that Saul wanted to stamp out. Let's just have a little digression or diversion. Why was Saul named Saul? It may have been that it was common to use a famous name to name children. So the name Saul could have come from Israel's first king. I then began to wonder, how did Israel come to have a king? They existed for a long time without one. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 to 8, it says this: "So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, 'You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have.' But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, 'Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you.'" God took it personally that they didn't trust God to lead them through Samuel. They wanted a leader like the other nations had. Israel had rejected God as their king. Why do I mention this? It's to remind us so that God is very concerned about the activity of people, and particularly his own people. Back to Acts chapter 9, and here's a rough map showing what's going on. So, Saul starts there, wanders along here, and something happens. Looks like a flash of light, doesn't it? Saul is on his way to Damascus to arrest and take back the followers of the way, take them back to Jerusalem to face trial and punishment. And nothing is going to stop such a driven man. Then the light from heaven shines on him, and a voice is heard saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" What did Saul see? The people with him, we are told, didn't see anyone, but heard the voice. This was a voice from God. And the persecution that the followers of the way, the church, were facing, God took personally. God says to Saul, "Why do you persecute me?" These followers of the way were following the way of God, and Saul persecuting them meant that he was persecuting God. Now, I don't think that God will answer all persecutions faced by Christians in this way, but it does illustrate what God feels and thinks when persecution happens. Saul had been going to arrest Christians in Damascus, but Jesus arrests Saul. Jesus stops Saul. Last Sunday, we looked at appearances of Jesus to his disciples. Now he's appearing to one who is not a disciple of Jesus, but he will be. Saul's answer to the voice is also interesting, for he says, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul is beginning to realize that while he thought he was defending God's honor, he was attacking God's people. As Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 2, "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God." As Jesus told his disciples, "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." That's from Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Let's go back again to Saul's question, "Who are you, Lord?" For all of Saul's great learning, he didn't recognize God when he met him. The answer is, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now, there are three accounts of Saul's conversion. Acts chapter 9, which we have read. Acts chapter 22, when Saul became Paul and gave his testimony at his trial. And then in Acts 26, when he again gave his testimony before King Agrippa. Each one is largely the same, but with some things omitted and some recalled that Paul has mentioned before. In the Acts 26 account, it is revealed that the Lord also said to Saul, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." An ox or a beast of burden moving against the sharp stick used to guide it would hurt itself. And this was a common phrase in secular and even Jewish writings. It is an accurate picture of Saul's experience. His actions before his experience on the Damascus Road show that he had indeed always felt Jesus to be an irritant. And then God showed him what kind of irritant. Saul was insensitive and seemed almost unaware that God was giving him guidance. He behaved like an animal that wasn't very intelligent and so was hurt when he chose to ignore what he should be doing. He wouldn't listen. That is, until God stopped him. Saul was no longer charging around all over the place to show his zeal. Now that he was blind, he couldn't go anywhere. He might have wondered if this was going to be permanent. Would it be a permanent condition? He was so disturbed that he went without food for 3 days and was praying to God. Now, the people that helped Saul get to Damascus are never mentioned. And often there are people that help others to discover Jesus are never mentioned, but it is a very important part to play. Some are not even aware of the part they are playing in God's plan. Those that were with Saul may have intended this. But now we are introduced to someone called Ananias. Ananias was a disciple, and God tells him to go to Saul so that Saul's sight would be restored. Ananias feels that God may not know about this violent enemy of God's people. Surely this is a mistake. Saul is certainly not the person that Ananias would choose to be with. But God tells him to go. Why? Because this man is God's chosen instrument to proclaim God's name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And this is what happens. Saul, who became Paul, does three great missionary journeys, possibly a fourth, going to synagogues, or if there are not enough Jews for a synagogue, a place where Jews would gather together to pray. There he will explain how Jesus of Nazareth perfectly matches what is written in the Hebrew scriptures about the Messiah. Some Jews and Gentiles who worship the Jewish God will believe, others won't. And Saul, or Paul, will often be kicked out of the synagogues. Ananias calls Saul brother. Saul will lose acceptance with the people he was with, but now he's part of a group called Followers of the Way, Christians. Paul spoke of his former way of life in Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, which says this: "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." God knew what Saul would become, even though Saul hated the church. Saul had been called not so much to leave Judaism behind, but to accept Jesus as the fulfillment of all that he believed. Saul's experience of the Damascus Road conversion is not for everyone. Some will have a sudden turnaround, others will have a gradual realization. But it is the same Lord Jesus, and the work of the cross is the same. For each one coming to Jesus and being saved, the experience can be different, but the salvation is the same. The gospel is the good news of salvation for all who believe. Finally, there's a testimony that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 9, when Paul says this: "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that was Peter, "and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So, what do we learn then? Even the fiercest enemy can come to have salvation from Jesus. They can change and be used by God. Some will be used in small ways like Ananias. Others will be perhaps a bit like Paul the Apostle. God has a work for each of us to do, and we can only do it with God helping us, and if we belong to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have heard this morning. We ask you, Lord, to bless it to us, and Lord, that anything that wasn't of you, that would be taken away. But Lord, that you would embed your word into our hearts, so that, Lord, we have something to say to anyone that may ask us about the faith and trust that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray this. Amen.